The lesson today is from Romans 8, 14 to 17. It's what I just shared with the kids. Hear this word of God for you today. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, pour out that Holy Spirit upon us in this place and time. Speak to us, Lord. Be with us in our hearts and minds, we pray. Amen. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We are all children of God. Unfortunately, that isn't usually our defining identity, is it? It's so funny how we try to define ourselves in this world. So often it's about what's on the outside, what we're wearing, what we're driving, where we're living. Have you noticed that most of the commercials on television, they're all about stuff on the outside. Even if it's medication, it's still focused on the outside. And yet all that superficial, worldly stuff that supposedly identifies us doesn't really define us. We are children of God. That is our true identity. We're beloved children, all of us. We just don't always live that way, and we don't always treat each other that way, do we? We tend to look at the outside. We tend to pass judgment based on what we can see with our eyes instead of someone's heart. And all too often, we base our identity upon who we've been told we are, right? Some of us have had parents who told us that we are beloved children, much like God's voice came down at Jesus' baptism and said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Some people have had parents who have said things like, "You are my precious child. I love you. I'm proud of you." But some people have not had that. For those who have not heard those words from an earthly father or mother, it can be heart-wrenching to hear how other parents love their kids. This is one reason why I don't preach sermons that are just about moms or dads on Mother's Day and Father's Day. We celebrate parents, but we also remember that not everyone has parents or kids, or happy families. And yet, regardless of who we are, we all long for that. We long to have love from a parent, don't you? Don't we all long to be loved, respected, honored? I think it's just this innate thing. It doesn't matter how crazy your real parents might be, you always hold out some hope that they will finally get it right. I remember watching a video of Malala Yousafzai, the Pakistani girl who was shot in the head by the Taliban because she was supporting the education rights of girls. And in this video, it's so beautiful because she's sitting right next to her dad and he just keeps saying over and over again, "I love her. I love her. I knew I loved her from the first time I saw her." He goes on to say how proud he is of her education and how she could grow up to change the world. There's something powerful about that. The role of a parent is so powerful. The good and the bad from our families, it's kind of seared into our hearts and minds, and we all long for that unconditional love. Even those who have received great parental love realize that our earthly parents, though, are far from perfect. So the Bible reminds us, because it's sure full of messed up parents, that we all need something more than that. We need something more than an earthly parent. We need to know we are loved beyond our family. We need to know we're loved by God. And here in Romans 8, Paul's talking about this love of God for us. He says we're adopted children. Now think about that, adopted. It may sound strange to say we're adopted kids of God, but what's unusual about adoptive parents? They choose. They choose to have their child. They choose their children. In other words, we're chosen. We're adopted by God. Paul goes on to talk about what living in the Spirit means. He said, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You've received the spirit of adoption. What does that mean? It means we're not to live in fear. We're not just servants. We're not just slaves. We don't have to be afraid anymore because we're chosen. But what does it mean when he says that sometimes we live like a slave, living in fear? There's a great book called Sons and Daughters by Brady Boyd, and he says that living like a slave, living in fear, is really when we start to think that we have to earn our way to God, that we have to earn God's love or work our way to heaven. That is living in slavery instead of the freedom of God's grace and love. But if we accept God's grace through Jesus' death and resurrection, and then we have nothing to prove. No more slavery. Many of you know the story of Abraham Lincoln announcing the Emancipation Proclamation, freeing all slaves beginning January 1st, 1863, and when that day dawned. Instead of just rushing into newfound freedom, many of the slaves just stayed put. That's what they knew. That's what they were familiar with. No matter what people told them, they couldn't believe that they were actually free. Government people would say, look, this is no lie. You are free. Get your belongings and leave. Start living a new life. And still some would stay as slaves, just like we do today. Sometimes we stay in that old spirit of fear, instead of believing that we are free from our past and our present, instead of believing that we're forgiven and redeemed and made new, we sometimes live like slaves instead of beloved kids of God. Paul says in Galatians 4, you're no longer a slave, you're a child, and if a child, then also an heir. We're children of God, co-heirs with Jesus. If we go back to the beginning of Romans 8, it actually says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We are free. We are free from guilt and shame. We are free from our past. Grace wins. Grace is what frees us from that slavery and that fear. And we're children of God who can call God Daddy. That's what Paul means when he says we can cry, Abba, Father. Abba's that Aramaic word for daddy. It's a term of endearment. It's because we believe that God is a heavenly father, our dad. We also believe that God is a heavenly mother, our mom. God is beyond being a man or a woman. And in the Bible, there's even female imagery for God. Did you know that? Sometimes God is described like a mom. And in Romans, Paul is just using a term that people would have been familiar with, and the term that Jesus uses to talk to God and that he uses in the Lord's Prayer. Think about what it means. It's amazing to think about that closeness with God. Do we have that closeness with God where we could call God Dad, Mom? Do we want that? Because the truth is, we're so beloved that we have that. We could just reach right out to God, our heavenly parent, and God will respond. And then there's this whole idea of being an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, which means that Jesus is our brother. You ever thought about that before? Jesus, our brother. It's kind of a neat thought. And what about that inheriting God's grace that Paul talks about? One pastor said that realizing that we have inherited God's grace is kind of like having a long-lost millionaire uncle who leaves everything to you. How many of us live that way, though? As beloved kids of God. All too often, instead, we're living as tired, stressed-out people running around like chickens with our heads cut off, right? Or maybe it's just me. On a recent women's retreat, we learned about taking in the peace and grace of God, and it was called the Calm Retreat, based on an acronym from Max Lucado's book called Anxious for Nothing. Now that's a good slogan. He came up with this acronym of CALM, C-A-L-M, to talk about how we can let go of our fear and anxiety and worry as children of God and just remain calm. The C stands for celebrate God's goodness. The A stands for ask for help. The L stands for leave your requests and burdens with God. And the M stands for meditate on good things. What if we lived like calm children of God? Doesn't giving up anxiety help us live like the beloved children we are? And yet so much of our past causes anxiety. So much of our baggage from families causes anxiety. So much of our current day-to-day situation causes anxiety. And God wants us to be free from all of that. Now here I'm just preaching to myself. I was in the hospital this week for heart and GI troubles, all likely caused by stress. I need this calm. What about you? Need some calm in your life? C, celebrate God's goodness. How do you do that? I tend to do that with a cup of coffee, my Bible, and my Streams in the Desert devotional early in the morning. Sometimes I take my journal out and I write a list of great things about God, of blessings, of gifts. Other times I walk around my neighborhood and spend the entire walk just thinking about how great God is and how cool all the things are that I'm walking past. How do you celebrate God's goodness? And what about asking God for help? The A, ask for help. Do you always ask God for help? Or do you try, like some people I know, to just handle it yourself? Do you try to just fix it yourself? Or do you run to friends and family to help before surrendering it to God? I think we all do this. We all get off course. The key is to bring it all back to God, our parent who loves us and wants to help us. I remember something powerful I read a few weeks ago that I shared in a kids' sermon, and it's this. God loves your voice. God loves to hear your voice in prayer. God wants to hear from you. Remember that. We can ask God for help first and foremost because God is the only one who can change our situation, the only one who can take away that fear and anxiety. L, leave your requests with God. That's a hard one. We tend to say, okay, God, here's the mess. And then we talk about it for a while, and then we say, oh, okay, yeah, taking that right back with me. It's hard to leave it with God. It's hard to trust that God is going to take care of it. But if we don't leave our burdens with God, how can we trust God to bring solutions and help? It takes practice leaving it with God. M, meditate on the goodness. It's kind of like the celebrate. Meditate on good things. That's so important because it's way easier to just meditate on the negative, on what's going wrong in your day. It's way easier to think about all the ways you're going to try to fix things. It's way easier to listen to the bad news out there in the world day after day after day. And it's easy to listen to the people who complain day after day after day. But what about the good things? How do you fill your mind and heart with the goodness? Have you looked at God's promises in the Bible? Maybe you even need to write them down somewhere. And what about the blessings you've received? How do we meditate on the good things? Because doing all of this brings us back to our identity as kids of God, God's beloved children. In his book, Sons and Daughters, Brady Boyd says that if we understand our identity as children of God, we will know how to live. He says this, moment by moment, we should come to God and say, show me the me you somehow see. God, show me the me that you see. That's profound. When we look in the mirror, do we just see what we see or do we see what God sees? Because in God's eyes, we're beloved children, free, forgiven, redeemed. What do we see when we look at ourselves? Sometimes what we see is just our past or our present circumstances. Maybe we grew up in a bad circumstance, or we're experiencing a big problem right now. Maybe we've become a victim, and we let that become who we are, someone who's been hurt, instead of a beloved child of God. Or we get ourselves into a bad situation through poor choices. Maybe we're the ones making the wrong choice, and that becomes who we are. A bully, an addict, a mess up, instead of a beloved child of God. It's our nature to do this, to define ourselves by our situation, our choices, the people around us. It's just human nature to define ourselves by all these things on the outside, but God doesn't see us that way. Nothing we've done, nothing that has ever been done to us, defines us. Not even our families or our circumstances define us. Only God defines us as beloved children, forgiven and free. Free from everything else. Free to be the people God made us to be. Does all of that mean that life with God is going to be easy? No. Paul specifically says in Romans, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Paul goes on to say, though, I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. In other words, life with God is not necessarily easy every day or free from suffering. We know that life on this side of heaven is broken and fallen. We will suffer. We will have fear. We will have anxiety, but we will also see the glory of God. And the suffering that we're walking through today, it's nothing compared to what awaits us. In this life, we can choose to live as beloved children of God. We can choose to remain calm, celebrating God's goodness, asking God for help, leaving it all with God, and meditating on the good things. And friends, that is our good news of the gospel today. And to that, all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 34.